fine. You'll find the puppets are for everybody to be able to enjoy. And while they may be entertaining, everything we have that we do has a very important scripture message to it. And we trust that you'll learn what God would have for you to this morning. We'll see if Ms. Webb can find somebody to. Sure.
Okay, let me just give a knock on the wall. We'll see if we can wake somebody up this morning. Sometimes it's early Sunday morning, they're still sleeping in bed. Wake up. Oh, here comes someone. Who is that?
Well. If it isn't Mrs. Webfoot. How you doing, Mrs. Webfoot?
My name is not Webfoot.
Sure it is. You have web feet, don't you?
No, I don't.
Yes, you're married to a web, aren't you?
Yes.
Your last name's Web, isn't it?
Yes.
Then you have web feet.
I better explain who this is.
Yes, why don't you do that? Some of these people here have not had the privilege of meeting me yet.
Oh, they've been lucky enough not to have met
me yet. That's just your opinion, Mrs. Webfoot.
Anyway, this is Mr. Evil.
That's right.
Mr. Evil is one of Satan's helpers.
And that's right, too. And this is Mrs. Webfoot. She's one of the gritty deucers here for whatever it is you're doing here this week.
What are you doing here this morning?
What am I doing here? What are all these people doing here this morning, huh?
We're here for Sunday school.
Sunday school?
Yes.
What's the matter with you folks? Don't you know this is Sunday morning? You're supposed to stay home at Betty by Baptist with Pastor Sheets. He's a good pastor. He's got you covered. So why don't you make like a tree and leaf, will you? Or put an egg in your shoe and beat it, huh? Or make like a good fundamental Bible preaching church and split, man.
Oh, you're terrible.
Thank you. I do try.
We need to get rid of him this morning.
No, you can't get rid of me. I'm busy getting rid of you. So go play on the freeway or something. Oh, well, there's not one around here. But go play in the road or something, okay?
All right. There's one thing that Mr. Evil is afraid
of. I'm not afraid of anything, Webfoot, particularly not you.
Well, you are afraid of the Bible.
Yuck. I hate the Bible. I don't mind when it lays around underneath a bunch of magazines and newspapers and gathers dust. But I hate when people read it and memorize it and quote it. And it really bugs me when people get saved because of it.
Well, we're going to see a Bible verse together this morning to scare you off.
Ha ha. You don't think these folks are going to help you, do you?
Yes.
Even if you do need lots of help. Upstairs.
All right. I think everyone here knows John 3:16.
No, nobody here knows John 3:16. And if you used to know it, you have amnesia and you forgot it.
No, they know it. Let's say this really loud together.
No. Don't say anything. Let's just sit here and stare at Mrs. Webfoot and make her feel really self-conscious, okay?
Okay. Are you ready?
Okay. Here we go. We're going to stare. Here
All
we go.
Right, here we go.
Everybody's staring.
John 3:16.
No, hey. No, don't speak. You don't have to speak to stare. No. Just look at Mrs. Webfoot. No, don't quote the Bible. I'm not stressed to leave when you quote the Bible. I got to leave when you quote the Bible. But you, I'll get you for this. You'll see.
Life.
Ooh, I'll get you people later for that. You just wait.
No, you just think so, Mr. Evil.
I don't think so, Mrs. Webfoot. I know so.
You think so.
I know so.
You think so.
I know so.
You think so.
I know so.
Well, I'm glad he's gone anyway.
That's what you think.
Oh, boy. All right, let me try again. Oh, here comes someone. Whoa, it's a dragon.
Well, of course, it's a dragon. Whatever it look like to you, Snow White.
No, you look like a dragon.
Well, that's good. That's because I am a dragon, Mrs. Webb.
You must be Durwood the dragon.
Yes, ma'am, Durwood dragon. I just say this.
I'm glad to see you out here so bright and early this morning.
Oh, it's nice to be able to be here this morning, Mrs. Webb. Sunday school is my favorite service of all the meetings of the week.
Your favorite service?
Yes, ma'am. It's the one opportunity I have to be with some of my own kind.
To be with some of your own kind?
Yes, ma'am, after some people being up late last evening and then getting up early to come to Sunday school, everybody's dragon. So I thought I'd come and be with some of the other dragons, you know what I mean?
That's real nice, Durwood.
Maybe between now and the morning service, we'll have some awful dragon, too.
Maybe so. We have everyone here for Sunday school. We're waiting for a story from the puppets.
Oh, well, don't look at me, Mr. Webb. I don't tell very good Bible stories. By the time I get through with them, they get a little monotonous.
Monotonous?
Yeah, that too.
You do talk a little bit funny.
No, I don't talk funny. I talk normal. Everybody else talks funny.
Where are you from, anyway?
Oh, I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
Explain
actually,
it.
I was born in North Jersey, but I moved to Brooklyn at a very early age.
Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Lovely place.
I don't know about that.
No, the sewer I grew up in was beautiful until one day they renovated it and turned it into a subway.
Oh.
Now I don't know which side of the tracks I live on.
Right. Well, if you're not telling the story, maybe we'll see you later on this week.
Oh, okay? Well, I don't know about that because the other services are going to be in the evenings, yes?
Yes.
Well, I make it a point not to come out in the evenings.
You don't come out in the evenings?
No, I mean, I'll be here in the castle, but I don't come out because in the evenings, then it's nighttime, and you know what knights do to dragons.
Oh, that's right.
That would really slay me, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I'll have to see you all later, okay? Have a very good Lord's Day, everyone.
All right.
Happy,
bye.
Happy Lord's Day to
Thank
you.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad Durwood stopped by to say hello. Anyway, let me just see if I can find somebody for a story.
Skip, skip, bitty, bitty, beep, bop. Hey, how you doing this morning, Mr. Webb?
Good, how are you?
Happy Sunday.
Thank you.
Nice to see everybody here. Good to see everyone that made it out for Sunday school this morning.
Yes, this is Big Al the Alligator.
Right, Big Al the Alligator, the coolest alligator in the north, south, east, and west, man.
Wait a minute. Coolest alligator?
Right, that's because I'm green, and green is cool, man.
Green is cool?
That's right, anybody wearing green today is cool, man.
Oh,
if you're not wearing green today, it's okay. You can still be cool.
How's that?
Go out without your jacket on. You'll be cool, man.
Oh,
cool.
I'm glad you're here. We are waiting for a story from the puppets.
Oh, that's nice. Can I wait with you?
Oh, you're not telling the story?
I don't think so.
Oh, was anyone else coming?
I don't know.
Going up the floor of the car, please. A top floor, please.
Someone's coming up on the elevator.
Top floor. Thanks, bud.
Homer?
Huh?
Is that you?
I hope so. I hate to think it was someone else.
Well, come on out.
Stop that. That's my nose.
Well, come on out.
Stop it. Knock it off, will you? I mean, don't knock it off. That's my nose.
Homer, come on out.
Oh, I'd love to come out of here, Mrs. Webb, but this curtain thing is in my way here, and they don't put instructions on the back of these things, you know.
Homer, you just push through the curtain.
What was that? She said push through the curtain. Well, I don't want to rip the thing, you know.
Then go down a little lower.
What was that? She said go down a little lower.
Okay, how about this? Is this low enough?
Not in your voice, silly. She meant in the curtain. Oh, okay. How about here then?
A little lower.
A little lower. How about here?
A little lower.
How about? Oh. Ow, woo, woo. That's too low. I'll say that was pretty low of you guys. Ouch. Get off of me, you silly curtain. What's the matter? You stop that. Get away from me.
Now Homer's out here. Maybe he knows something about the story.
Oh, Mrs. Webb!
What?
I thought you said that would get me out of here.
You are out
yes.
here. I still say the same thing I saw before.
Over here.
Oh, Mrs. Webb, something's after me. Homer. Mrs. Webb, trying to get me out of my ear. Mrs. Webb.
Yes, Homer.
It's you.
Yes.
Why are you upside down? Oh, I was upside down. How silly of me. Oh, hi, Big Al.
Hey, how you doing, Homer?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
Everyone, this is my good friend, Homer the Hound Dog.
That's me, Homer the Hound Dog.
Glad to have you here this morning, Homer.
Oh, it's nice to be here this morning. What's going on?
Well, we're waiting for a story from the puppets.
Oh, can I wait with you?
Wait a minute. You're not telling the story either?
I don't think so.
Oh, wait a minute, Miss Webb. Don't you have a list?
Let's no, see. She speaks perfectly okay.
Homer, I said a list, not a list. Oh, don't spit at me.
I don't have a list here. I have a list. Let's see. Sunday morning, Sunday school. Oh, look who it says.
It does not say anything. You have to read it.
Well, read it, Homer.
Oh, don't show it to me, Miss Webb. Oh. I don't know how to read. I haven't flunked obedience school.
Oh, dear.
Look, let me see it, okay?
Okay.
Oh, look what says it's a story for this morning.
Yes.
Shall we spell it together?
Okay.
Okay. H-O-M-E-R.
Hey, that's real good, you guys, but if I can't read, I can't spell either. So what's that spell?
It spells Homer.
Aha! Did you hear that, Big Al? It said it spells Homer. Isn't that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard?
It spells Homer, Homer.
Oh, no, I know it can't spell Homer, Homer. It does not have that many letters.
Homer, it spells your name, and it means it's your turn for the story this morning. Oh, no.
What?
I forgot. You forgot.
Well, you don't have to broadcast it all the way to Harrisburg or anything like that.
Well, Homer, everybody is sitting here waiting for a story, and you mean to tell us you don't have one?
I did not mean to tell you. You just dragged it out of me like you just did.
No, Homer, seriously. No, wait. I just remember one.
Okay, go ahead, then.
Okay.
Do it.
Goldilocks was walking to the woods one day when
Homer...
What?
You can't tell that story.
Well, of course I can't if you interrupt me before I even get through the first line.
No, Homer, this is Sunday school.
Yeah,
and we always have a Bible story.
What's wrong with the one I was telling?
That was a fairy tale.
A what?
A fairy tale.
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 No, I have a doggy's tale, you guys. Not a fairy tale.
No, Homer. The story you were telling was a fairy tale. Now, don't you know any Bible stories?
Bible stories. Let me think about it for a second, okay?
Right. Okay, but hurry up.
Hurry okay.
Up. Whoa, Homer.
What?
What are you doing?
I'm thinking that's the only way I can get anything through my sick head.
Well, hurry up then.
Okay. Oh, I got it.
A story?
No, a splitting headache. Ow. But I got a story, too. It came with a headache.
Well, that's good. What's the story about then?
Well, today we're going to tell a story about a shepherd.
A shepherd?
Yes, who had 102 sheepies.
Wait, 100 little what?
100 little sheepies.
Sheepies.
Now, wait a minute, Homer. I've heard of sheep before, and I've heard of lambs, but never in my life have I ever heard of a sheepie.
Oh, you poor depraved alligator, you. Don't you know what a sheepie is?
Now, how about you tell us all what a sheepie is?
Oh, that's easy. A sheepie is a four-footed animal with woolly on his head.
Woolly?
Who says, bat-y, bat-y.
Homer, you're talking about a sheep, a four-footed animal with wool on his head who says,
oh, you make a pretty good sheep there, big owl.
Wonderful. Just go on with the story, okay?
Okay. Well, this shepherd was obviously trying to go to sleep.
Trying to go to sleep.
Yes, and he was having trouble, too. He was counting sheep. Isn't that what you do when you have trouble going to sleep at night?
No, wait a minute, Homer. He was not counting imaginary sheep while they were jumping over some imaginary fence so he could go to sleep. He was counting real sheep as they were coming into the fold at the end of the day to be sure they were all there.
Oh, anyway, he was counting them like this. One little sheepie, two little sheepies, three little sheepies, four little sheepies, five little sheepies, six little sheepies, seven little sheepies, eight little sheepies,
nine little sheepies, ten little sheepies.
Don't interrupt me, I'm counting sheep.
No, Homer, wait. We do not have time to wait for you to count 100 sheep right now.
We don't?
No.
Well, go out and get a cup of coffee and a donut and come back. I'll be done.
No, Homer, we don't have time for that. Why don't you start from someplace like 97?
97?
Yes.
Well, let's see, I know where 322 is, and I know where I-80 is.
I'm not talking about highway numbers. I mean the number 97. Oh, I'm sorry. Like when you're counting.
Yes,
I got,
yes.
Okay. All right, so let me
97.
See.
Yeah, 97 little sheepies, 11 little sheepies, 12 little sheepies, 13
Homer,
little sheepies, 14 Homer. Little sheepies. Homer, what are you doing now? I'm going back and picking up the ones I missed.
Homer, don't do that. Pretend you already counted all of those. Start from 97 and go on to 100.
Oh, now you tell me.
All right, go ahead then.
Okay, let's
97.
See. Yeah, right. 97 little sheepies. 98 little sheepies.
99.
Oh, thanks, I forgot. 99 little sheepies. What? Hey, what? One of the sheepies is missing.
One of the sheepies is missing.
Uh-oh.
Quick, everybody look underneath your seat and see if there's a sheepie under there. Somebody look at the rest of the building. Somebody look at the crowds outside around.
Wait a minute. Hold everything.
Trying to find the lost sheep, Homer.
I know that, Mrs. Webb, but don't you know this story was told by Jesus almost 2,000 years ago?
2,000 years ago? Yes, then the poor sheepie's probably dead by now, Homer.
Will you just be quiet and listen to the rest of the story already?
Okay, go ahead.
Well, the shepherd loved all the sheepies so much, he could not bear to think of even one being lost, so he left the 99 sheepies safe in the fold, and he went out to look for that one lost sheepie.
Uh-huh.
He looked high, and he looked low. He looked to the east and to the west, or was it to the west and to the east?
Anyway,
he finally found that lost sheepie, and when he had found him, he picked him up and put him on his shoulders and carried him home and called all his friends together and said, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep."
Well, that's a good story, Homer. What's the Bible lesson?
That's a good story, Mr. Webb. What's the Bible lesson?
Homer, when you have the Bible story, you're supposed to have the lesson, too.
I am?
Yes.
Oh, no, I forgot that, too. Oh,
come on, Homer. There's a simple Bible lesson to that story.
Aha! See, there was. What was it?
Well, look, Homer, everybody here today is a sheep.
No, I don't see woolly on their heads.
No, Homer, I don't mean they're real sheep. But the Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him.
That's Jesus, right?
That's right. The iniquity of us all.
You mean to tell me there might be a boy or girl or teen or adult here who has never asked the Lord Jesus to come into their heart or to forgive their sins or to save them?
That's right. And that means they're lost in sin. And if they died today, they would be lost and separated from God forever in the terrible lake of fire.
Yeah, but wait. And in the story, there was that shepherd who loved the lost sheepie so much that he went out and sought for him until he found him and brought him home.
And the Bible tells us a more wonderful story. How that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. He died on the cross of Calvary and paid for every sinner's sin and rose again from the grave so that anybody,
even anyone here today,
who never has repented and turned from their sin or believed on the Lord Jesus or asked him to come into their life and save them, they can do that today.
And then they won't have to be a lost sheepie anymore?
Right.
Right. They can be a found sheepie and live forever with the Lord Jesus.
Well, I hope there's anybody here today who never has prayed and asked the Lord Jesus to forgive them of their sin and to come into their hearts and to save them, that they would do that today.
I hope so, too.
I hope so, three. But there's another lesson in that story, too.
Oh, what is it?
Well, the Lord Jesus said, other sheep have I which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring.
That's right, Homer. And there are still lots of other people who don't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. They're still lost sheep. That's right. And they need to be found and brought to the Lord Jesus.
And folks can help with that this week.
That's right. You can invite your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your enemies, anybody else you can to come. And if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll hear the gospel. And maybe even this week they'll be saved.
And become one of God's sheepies too.
Very good, right.
Well, it's been really good to see everybody here. And don't forget the Pepples will be back again on Monday night and Wednesday night as well.
So don't miss out on that time, okay? And we'll look forward to seeing you again with some other Pepple friends.
All right, good. Thank you.
Okay, goodbye, everybody.
All right, Homer, thanks for helping, and we'll see you later, okay?
Okay, Mr. Webb.
All right, goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye, Mr. Webb.
Okay, now it is time for a Sunday school message. And so right now, goodbye, Homer.
Oh, yeah, goodbye, Mr. Webb.
Okay, now it is time for a Sunday school message. Homer?
Yes, ma'am.
Is there a problem?
I don't think so.
Homer, when you say goodbye, you're supposed to leave.
Oh. Well, why didn't you?
Not me, Homer.
Oh, you mean I'm supposed to leave?
Yes.
Okay, so when you say goodbye, I'm supposed to leave. Yes. I got you. Okay, goodbye, Mr.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye,
Homer.
Everybody.
All right, goodbye. Okay, now it is time for our Sunday school message. And so right now, Homer, what is the problem?
This curtain thing is in my way again here, Mr. Webb.
Homer, you just back up through the window.
I saw that you tried to commit dog aside. You want me to split the flat down here.
Homer, no, just back up.
Back up and like this?
Yes, a little further.
Like this?
A little further.
And there's a stairwell back here. Somewhere. Oh.
Homer?
Yeah.
Are you all right?
I think so. No broken bones. Oh, bones. That reminds me, I did not have any breakfast.
I hope you enjoyed that story. It is time for a Sunday school message, also for the Sunday school kids to be dismissed at this time.
All right, so the younger boys and girls are going out for the Sunday school class this morning. If you're remaining in the auditorium this morning, let me invite you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the second chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 2 for our scripture passage for this morning. Mark in chapter 2 for our scripture passage. There is a table back in the back of the auditorium you may want to take time to stop and look at during our meetings. This week and today it's going to be running some photos throughout the day, so if you get here early and want to check it out or whatever, called Meet the Webs. So if you want to learn a little bit more about us, you can find out. My wife's a pastor's daughter. I'm an evangelist's son. You can find out we have 2 daughters. We have 7 grandchildren, and you can find where they are and what they're doing and all the rest of those kind of things. You might even see some photos of some of the kind of things that we'll be doing this week. So let me encourage you to stop by and take advantage of that. There are also some added ministries beyond the platform, ministry of our team back there at the table as well. There are music CDs of our family and of our daughters. There are sermon CDs of the messages we're preaching this week. They can be found in the black sermon box back yonder. There are also audio and video versions of Bible stories from the Puppet Castle. So if you enjoyed that story you just heard of the lost sheepie, you can go by there and you can find that both on audio CD and on DVD back there on the table. So those are the things that are available to you back there. We even have another recording there of my father and Brother Babcock, some of you folks are familiar with their ministry from years gone by. We'll tell you a little bit about that. The recording is there too. We put out in the last couple of years, and so we'll let you know about those things too. But all those things are back there on the table at the back, and usually I'm up around the chalkboard here or whatever. Sometimes I'll be back there by the table. My wife will be back by the table when she is finished with her class. There's going to be, in addition to all the other things we're doing in each service, so this morning my wife will be teaching the children's church class out yonder, but starting tonight and going through Thursday night, every evening service, she will be having a class, usually for young people who are 8 years old and under, go out with Mr. Webb, and she'll have a puppet friend back there along with them and be teaching them from the Word of God while I'm preaching out here. Of course, that's not a babysitting service. That's an opportunity for them to hear God's Word on their level where they are, while the rest of us get to listen out here without having to worry about pinching this one, holding that one down, or giving a dirty look to another one acting up on the end of a row somewhere. So I want to encourage you to keep that in mind. This is going on during the week this week as well. And we'll remind you about some of those things. I don't hear any pages rustling, so I'm assuming you found your way to Mark chapter 2. If you have, would you stand with me, please, in honor to God's word, as they did in the Bible when the scripture was read. We'll stand as we read our text this week as well. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, let it down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay.
When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Let's remain standing for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to share your word with each person here. We ask, Lord, that there should be one who does not know Christ as their personal Savior. They would not leave here today until they've settled that matter of their eternal destiny. But we do pray today that you would speak to those of us who are believers and challenge us regarding our opportunity this week to be bringing others to the Lord. And we ask you in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. You may be seated this morning. I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning in Sunday school and encourage you regarding bringing others to the Lord. I want you to see several things with me in this passage of scripture, if you will. First of all, notice in verse 1, there's the packed house, well, verses 1 and 2. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. Why was there in this passage of scripture such a packed house? Well, notice, first of all, there was an announcement of Christ. You see, Capernaum was right on the route that led from Africa all the way up through to Asia. People that were becoming or going either direction would have to come through the city of Capernaum along the Sea of Galilee. It was a place where Jesus resorted to many times while he was here on this earth. He was spent about 2 years coming and going from that city of Capernaum. And whenever anybody who knew him from when he had been there before saw that he was back in town, they would go telling everybody, the folks that were coming through town, the other folks around, hey, you need to come and hear this one whose teaching and preaching will change your life, and the amazing things that he does you'll be excited about. And because there was an announcement of Christ, there was then an accumulation of a crowd. People came from far and wide and packed the house so full you couldn't cram another person in with a shoehorn. And they gathered around the outside, it said, even so much so that they could try to catch a glimpse of the Savior or hear a word that he was speaking inside the house. Now, I believe we could see this auditorium packed full of folks this week. Amen. Saying two things need to happen. Number one, needs to be an announcement of Christ. You know friends, you know family members, you know loved ones, people who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I can tell you this, if you don't invite anyone to come this week, you'll reach your goal. Nobody will come. But if you'll invite everybody you can think of, you might be surprised at who will come. So it's so hard to get lost folks to come sometimes. Listen, we've seen folks even during COVID working hard. Even one of the first meetings I remember we went back into when COVID, the year of major COVID, was taking place, the very first meeting we had in the fall, there were two people who got the first two chalk drawings. They were together, combined, responsible for 30 first-time visitors to the services that
week.
Now, you can get folks to come, too. I was preaching in Abseken, New Jersey, outside of the Atlantic City of New Jersey, right, the East Coast. There was a lady in the church there who had been saved 3 years before when we had been in her church. And when she found out we were coming back again 3 years later, she got all excited about it. Now, when she was saved, she was working as a card dealer in one of the casinos in Atlantic City. Since that time, she knew that was no place for a believer to be working, so she'd left that job, and God had given her a better-paying job doing something that she could be proud of doing, and so she was in that other job. But when she found out we were coming back, she went back to the casino and invited her former boss and a number of the other card dealers with whom she used to work to come to the services. On the first Sunday morning of a Sunday through Wednesday meeting in her church that time, her former boss came and sat with her in her seat, heard the message of the gospel, raised his hand that he needed to be saved, and when I gave the invitation, he stepped out and came and accepted Christ as his personal Savior. Now, that lady and that gentleman were always, that man came back that night even at the Sunday evening service, and he brought with him the rest of his family, and that night the rest of his family walked the aisle, and they too trusted Christ as personal Savior. For the rest of the week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night, that lady and that family were late coming in, not because they weren't at church on time, but because they were at the door of the lobby waiting for everyone else they had invited to join them. Every night there was casino row. There must have been 9 or 10 different casino workers with them in their pew from one night to the next. And out of 13 people that came to Christ that week, 9 of them were people they brought.
Amen.
Amen. And I said to the lady, how did you do that? I mean, people say today it's so hard to get anybody. She said, are you kidding? She said, my boss and I are just so excited about what the Lord has done in our lives. We went out and told everybody, hey, you got to come. You got to come. It'll change your life. It looks like you've done this for me. And they came. So let me encourage you to have an announcement of Christ. If you do, we might see a great accumulation of a crowd, and we can have a packed house here this week as well. Notice the second thing. Look at the preaching of the word. Verse 2 says, and he, that's the Lord Jesus, preached the word unto them. Why did he do this? He knew he had hungry men there, people who were searching, who had great spiritual needs. And so he gave them what people in that condition need most, not psychology, philosophy, or somebody else's ideology. He gave them the preaching of the word. He gave them the heavenly manna of the truth of God's word. Hungry men need heavenly manna, and that's what he gave to them. And I want to assure you that there are still people in the society around us today who have spiritual needs. They are hungry spiritually. They're trying in all the wrong places to find what meets that need. Only Christ can meet that need, and we need to be those who are encouraging them and gathering them together to bring them in to hear the truth of the word of God. People today are hungry, and I assure you that if you invite anybody to come this week, they're not going to hear the opinion of Evangelist Barry Webb, or for that matter, the opinion of Grace Baptist Church. They will, however, hear the preaching of the word of God. Yeah. I was preaching in one meeting, and a man came to me after the service one night, and he said, Brother Webb, he said, I noticed you quote a lot of scripture passages while you're preaching. He said, I decided just to make a mark on my church bulletin every time you quoted another one. He said, I stopped counting tonight after you passed 40. Now, I don't say that to pat Evangelist Barry Webb on the back. I say that to let you know that anybody who comes isn't going to hear my opinion. They will hear lots of scripture. And that's what God has promised in Isaiah 55:11. Will not return unto him void, but will accomplish the purpose whereunto he sent it. So let me challenge you to remember that. So there's, first of all, the packed house. Then there's the preaching of the word. Look at the third thing here, the palsied man, verse 3. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. Now, we don't know a lot about this man. We don't have any name given. We don't know where he was from or anything else that way. But we do know that he had two things characteristic of him. Number one, he was hurting. His life had been destroyed by a disease called palsy. There was no doctor he could go to who would help. There was no exercise plan or dietary change that would have helped him in his situation. So he was not only hurting, he was helpless. Nothing he could do could rid himself of that terrible disease. It's a picture of every one of us who's born into the world, because we've all been born with a disease the Bible calls sin. We can thank our human parents, Adam and Eve, for that. Romans 5, verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible tells us, if we just look around us, we'll find all kinds of folks whose families, whose lives, whose health, whose homes have been destroyed by sin in general, and by specific sin as well. And those are folks like that all around us who have those needs. They're hurting, and they're helpless. We're helpless to get rid of that disease ourselves. Many man-made religions are easily identifiable because they involve something they tell you have to do to help earn or merit that eternal life, whether it's good works, whether it's keeping the sacraments, confessing to a priest, going on a pilgrimage, praying so many times in a certain direction, getting baptized or joining their church or whatever else. No, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's word makes it plain that, like this man in the story, we're hurting and we're helpless. But look at what else we find in this passage. We find the party of friends, verse 3. He and they, who's they? These four men. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. Now, we don't know much about these four. It doesn't give us any relationships to this man, doesn't give us any names of them or anything about what their location was or whatever. But we do know two things about these four. Number one, they were caring friends. They were caring friends. They cared about those around them who needed to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. And because they were caring friends, they were also carrying friends. They were willing to invest their own time, effort, and resources into getting this man to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, that's the way we ought to be as well. We need to be caring friends, and we need to be carrying friends. I would ask you, are you carrying friends to those who are lost? I was a caring friend. I was in a church in Western Pennsylvania years ago that had as the slogan on all their literature, on the church sign and on the church wall, a church with a heart. That was their slogan for the church, meaning that they were a caring church. But it's interesting that I had my hair cut at a barber shop that week, two blocks away from the church. The barber had grown up in that community all of his life and had had his shop on that very same corner for many years and didn't even know the church existed. Wow. Not a person from that church had ever handed him a gospel tract or a flyer for a revival meeting or invited him to come to a special service or any such thing that way. They said they were a caring church, but were they really if they hadn't even reached out to the barber two blocks away? from where the church was. And then these fellows in the story are carrying friends, which means they were not just sitting back and watching other people bring somebody to Jesus Christ. They put their own time, effort, and resources into getting someone to Christ. If you don't invite somebody, I can tell you this week they're not going to come. But even if you do invite somebody, you may be only able to get them here if you, say, for example, invite them over for supper after work one night. Or tell them you'll come by and pick them up. Sometimes there are older folks that say, well, once it gets dark, I don't go out driving anywhere. You can help that situation by saying, hey, I'll come by and pick you up. Be ready this time, and I'll get you here, and we'll get you home and take care of that situation as well. Are you willing to invest your time, your effort? Yes, it'll take time to hand out a flyer. It'll take time to text somebody or call somebody or whatever. It takes time to put a post on your social media website regarding the meetings and invite people to come as well. But are you willing to invest that time? Some people say, well, pick somebody up. I mean, that's going to cost me extra fuel. You want to talk about fuel? How would you like to pull a 40-foot fifth-wheel travel trailer around the countryside with a 6.7-liter turbo diesel engine? Diesel. Did you hear that word?
Yeah.
Right? It's over $6 a gallon in the state now to pick up diesel in most places. I learned a long time ago, though, folks, let me tell you, anything that is invested in the work of the Lord, and particularly in bringing people to Christ, is always blessed by God and repaid by God. God continues to fill our tank and provide for it to be filled and all the rest of that. And he'll do the same thing for you if you're in the work of bringing other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see this party of friends, carrying friends, carrying friends. Look at something else, though. We find the problem of obstacles. The problem of obstacles. What does it say in verse 4? And when they could not come nigh to him for the press. And verse 2 already told us there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. What kind of obstacle stood in the way of these men fulfilling their opportunity to get this man to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, there were two kinds of obstacles. There was something, a house with walls and doors. You can't walk through solid objects. And then there was someone. There was that huge crowd of newspaper reporters. Right? It says the press. Were they fake news? I don't know. In any case, they couldn't even get near the house. Have you ever tried to get into a venue that everybody else was trying to get into? You know, try to squeeze a little bit. Ah, get back behind me. It would have made any difference. Nobody cared they had somebody on a bed. Everybody's trying to get crowded around that house. So there was something or someone. Look, I guarantee you, there'll be something or someone that the devil will put in your way. Amen. To keep you from trying to be here this week. Your house water pump will quit this week. Your car will break down. You'll get a flat tire or some other such thing will come up. And it'll be right about time when you're supposed to leave for church or whatever too. Maybe there'll be a friend that you haven't seen in years that'll stop by your house right when you were leaving for the revival meetings. You'll be tempted to stay home and fellowship with them when you ought to say, hey, it's providential. You showed up right now. We're just leaving for church. Why don't you come with us and we can fellowship afterwards? Let me encourage you. Don't let something or someone get in the way of you doing the work of the Lord or you're being here even this week. There are always obstacles. The Apostle Paul said even in his ministry, a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Paul had lots of things in his way of trying to do the work of the Lord, but the Lord dealt with those things. In fact, what we find next in the story is the power of faith. Verse 4 says, when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they gave up and went home. Is that what it says? No, it says they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. These guys would not take no for an answer. Any other normal person would have looked at that situation and said, forget it today. No chance of getting this man in to see Jesus. But they didn't do that. At least one of them said, wait a minute, it's a flat roof to the house. There's steps up the back. Well, somebody said, what difference is that going to make? There's no entrance there. So we'll make one. What do you mean? We'll go up on the roof. It's probably a tile roof. We'll get the grounding around from the tiles over where Jesus is, and we'll tie ropes to the man's bed, and we'll lower this friend into the presence of Christ. That's exactly what they did. They went up to the roof. They tore up the tiling. They tied ropes. They lowered him down into the presence of Christ. They tell folks this one time, it's perfectly fine to let your friend down. What did their power of faith accomplish? Number one, it overcame the obstacles. And number two, it opened opportunity to get the friend to Christ. I've had people tell me, multiple people tell me over the years, you know, I invited somebody from work to come, and they said, well, you know, by the time I live the other direction than you do, or from your church where it is, and time I fight the traffic all the way home, get dinner for my family, and get cleaned up, and then change clothes, and then get back in the car and fight the traffic back the other direction to your church, it's going to be later on, it'll be in the middle of the service, and I'm not going to come in during the middle of a service. And so I've had people say, you know, I told that person, hey, that's all right, I understand. I invite you home to my house after work one night this week, or I'll meet you at a restaurant closer to our side of town, and you can come and we'll feed you and your family, and then you come to church with us that way, or we'll take you up or take you home. They took care of the obstacles. They overcame the obstacles, and they opened an opportunity to get somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's always a way to do that. So let me encourage you to look at that power of faith and have that same power. And because of that, we find then the proclamation of forgiveness. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now think about that verse. It's an amazing and extraordinary verse. Why? Because it doesn't just say when Jesus saw his faith. Why was this man forgiven of his sin, the Bible says? Well, first of all, in recognition of faith. Whose faith? Well, the man on the bed's faith to begin with. Nobody who ever has been saved, is saved, or ever will be saved, is saved without having a personal faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right? Look, you may have been born into a Christian family. You may have grown up in a Christian home. You may have attended a Christian school. You may come to a Bible preaching church. But you can't get to heaven on your parents' faith, your pastor's faith, or your principal's faith. You have to have a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's obvious that some people don't ever have that faith because they may grow up in those situations, but when they get old enough to get out on their own, they live like the devil. Why? Because, as the Word of God says, they went out from us because they were not of us. They heard all the facts but never assimilated any, never had a personal faith in the Lord Jesus. And when they graduated and went off where nobody was looking over their shoulder, they began to live the faith they really had in their heart. So there's personal faith, okay? This man was forgiven in recognition of faith. Whose faith? His faith. But notice the verse says, when Jesus saw, what was the next word? Their faith. So not only in recognition of his faith was his sin forgiven, but in response to faith. Whose faith? Four fellas that worked so hard to carry that man there and tear up a ceiling and lower that man into the presence of Christ. Jesus looked up and saw four fellas looking down at him with pleading faces, and he, because of those fellas, said to that man, son, your sins are forgiven you.
Amen.
I was preaching a meeting in South Central Pennsylvania a number of years ago, and a 12-year-old boy came the first Sunday morning and accepted Christ. He was so excited. He came by the door, and he shook my hand and said, guess what, Brother Webb? I said, what? He said, I got saved today. I said, that's wonderful. He said, guess what else? He said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to invite my cousin to come back with me tonight. He said, my cousin's going to come tonight, and my cousin's going to get saved. I thought, well, okay, amen. Out the door he went. Well, when he came back that night, guess who was with him?
Yeah.
His cousin. He sat with his cousin in the second row. His cousin didn't have a Bible, so he shared his Bible with his cousin. When it got to the invitation, his cousin raised his hand that he wasn't saved. He asked his cousin in the invitation if he'd like to get saved. His cousin said yes. So he brought his cousin forward, and his cousin got saved. And they both went by me at the door that night on the way out, and he shook my hand with an even bigger smile. He said, see, Brother Webb, I told you I was going to come back tonight. I told you I was going to be my cousin, and I told you he was going to get saved. Look, God honors that kind of faith. I shared that illustration in Australia in a large church there, and a fellow came up to me on the last night of our special meetings we were holding in that church, and he said, you know, you gave that illustration last night about that little boy and his faith about his cousin. He said, I have a cousin that's older than me who's been an antagonist to the gospel. He never comes to anything when I invite him to the church. But he said, after I heard that story, I thought, well, it's worth a try. So he said, I sent a text to him after the service ended. We've got one more service, evangelistic service at our church with a special speaker from the U.S. I want to invite you to come. He said, it wasn't but a couple of minutes before he got a text back. I'll be there. He thought, yeah, right, be there. Well,
amen.
He said, Brother Webb, I sure hope I've got the same kind of faith that little boy you talked about had for my cousin to be able to say, well, guess who showed up at the service that night?
Amen.
His cousin. Guess who was one of the people who got saved that night?
Amen.
His cousin. God honors that kind of faith. So who is it that may be on your mind right now, your heart right now? What family member, what friend, what coworker, what karate dojo mate or ball team mate you may have that you'd love to see come to know Christ as personal Savior? What kind of faith do you have regarding them? God honors that kind of faith. The Bible tells us of the proclamation of forgiveness. But let me show you the last two things I want you to see before we finish this passage. I hate to mention this one, but it's here, so I'm going to mention it and pass it by. And that's the pride of the scribes, verses 6 and 7. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Now, wait a minute. These were the religious leaders of Israel. They came from the temple. They came from the city of Jerusalem. And I ask you, what kind of people were these? Were they caring friends? No. Don't you think they knew lots of people coming and going as they went from the temple and from Jerusalem? They knew lots of people who sat at the gates there of the temple begging and having physical and spiritual needs. But you don't read about them bringing anybody with them to see Jesus that night.
Amen.
And were they carrying friends? No, they didn't have anybody to carry. They were unconcerned. That was the first characteristic of these fellows. They didn't care about anybody else but them. They came to be critical of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were waiting for him to say something that wasn't right. Not only were they unconcerned, they were uncomprehending. Think about it. Of all the people in that whole house who should have known who Jesus was, it should have been them. Instead, they're the ones saying, who is this that says these words? Only God can forgive sins. I mean, remember when the wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, Matthew chapter 2? No, I know you weren't there, so you wouldn't remember that would have been. No, I mean, seriously, in Matthew 2, we're going to read about that more as Christmas time comes. When the wise men came and said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. Whom did Herod call to get the answer to that? Yeah. When he had called the chief priests and the scribes. Amazing. Same guys. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. Did they know? Not right away. They knew where to look for it, at least. When they found it, they came back with the answer. But even when they did, yes, thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, not the least among the people of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Do you read about them going with the wise men to find Jesus? No, not one of them. Why? It didn't fit their lifestyle, didn't fit the plans they had. The Lord Jesus didn't enter into their thinking at all. And these were the religious leaders. You know, it's sad to say, but there's some people like that. I'm sure pastor has noticed it once in a while. There are some people that come in and they sit down and the light's on, but nobody's home. They nestle down into the corner of their chair for a quiet doze for while the preacher's preaching. No, listen, don't be like the Pharisees, unconcerned and uncomprehending. But notice the last thing that I want you to see this morning before we close in prayer from Sunday school. Look at the proof of forgiveness. The proof of forgiveness. It says in verse 8, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? He said, look, which is easier, for me to tell this fellow his sins are forgiven or to tell him to get up and walk? And then it says, verse 10, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. So Jesus said, so that you may know, I what? I what? I say. What was the first proof of this man's forgiveness? Jesus turned and he said, I say unto thee. The first proof of this man's forgiveness was the word. Yeah, the word of the Lord. I say, so you may know, I say. What did God say in 1 John 5, verse 13? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. God's word is first proof of our forgiveness and of the power and person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what caught the attention of the religious leaders. What caught the attention of everybody else? Verse 12, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion, so what amazed the people? It was the walk. Yes. The fact that a fellow who couldn't get there under his own power had to be carried there by four other gentlemen and lowered through a hole that was made in the ceiling. That man, at the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, got up off the bed, rolled up his bed, walked out through a crowd he couldn't get in through. And it was his changed life, his walk, that was evidence to everyone there. Amen. Of the person of Christ and the power of Christ.
Amen.
Those same two things ought to be true for every one of us who knows Christ as our personal Savior. Number one, the Word of God tells us, if we have repented and turned from our sin and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and have accepted Him as Savior, it does not matter what anybody else in the world says. God says in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, amen, shall be saved. Or John 3:16, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And we can know because of the promise and the certainty of the word of God, the authority of God's scripture, that we're a child of God. But the other thing is that it ought to be evident to the world around us as well as ourselves by the walk that we have with the Lord.
Yes, amen.
If you invite very many people to come to church, I guarantee you sometime or other you have or you will hear, I'm not interested in church because the church is full of... Well, you've heard that before. Problem very often it's true. Look, if they can hear your car coming three blocks away, boom, 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 twang, 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 you can hear theirs. Or they hear you in the summertime when your windows are open yelling and screaming at your kids, or your kids yelling and screaming at you before they stomp out of the car and squeal their tires off down the road someplace else that way. They see you on the back porch around your fire ring or whatever, slugging back a can of beer or something. Why do they need anything you say or anything you have to present to them? Your life is no different from theirs. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Just think how many other people must have been attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ when they saw this man that they knew had been sick with palsy. Now he's carrying a bed around with him. The word and the walk. Those are the same two things that are proof of our forgiveness.
Amen.
we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's our changed lives that ought to add weight to our invitation to people to come to where they can too hear the word of God and have their lives changed like ours have been as well. So let me challenge you this week to put other things aside. Maybe if you're used to doing your laundry at the laundromat during the Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday night, or you go grocery shopping one of those nights, save that for Friday this week, okay? And make your plans to be here in God's house and ask God who he'd have for you to invite and who he'd have for you to bring. And I believe we can see the same type of blessing take place as these men saw that day in this house. Let's bow together for a closing word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to take the opportunity to invite everyone we can this week. And we pray, Lord, that you might draw folks out to be here with us in our services. And that, Lord, if there are those who don't know Christ as Savior, they might come to know him as their personal Savior. That, Lord, believers might be challenged and revived first. Lord, as we know, judgment begins at the house of God, and then you can use us to reach the lost. So we pray, Father, that you would direct that each person might respond to your word in the way you desire them to. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may dismiss from the Sunday school hour. We'll catch you in a